So we'll briefly repeat what we covered last time. We are in the third chapter. So we should be covered verses 20 and 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can somebody summarize some of the points we discussed? So what is the thing, like Krishna here is describing about?
Who are realized and who are still engaged in activity.
So he's giving an example in verse number 19. Krishna is saying that a person should still act as a matter of duty, because by working without attachment one attains the supreme, right? So Krishna is giving an example how one example of a person who has perfected his life by working without attachment, or rather by performing prescribed duties perfectly, which is of whose example?
King Janaka.
King Janaka. So King Janaka, even though he is a great devotee of the Lord, right? He is the father-in-law of Lord Ram, and he is also self-realized. Still, he did his duties as a king perfectly, right? So he is setting an example for all his subjects. Yeah. So what is in it for us? Like, what's application for us?
So something we can work like. It's something to look up to.
Look up to, and also even if one day we become self-realized, mm-hmm. No, we still have some interest in this world, like, you know, to set an example for others. Then, until that time, anyway, we have to continue doing our duties. Okay. So then, in verse number 21, what does Krishna say?
Qualifications of
ideal teacher.
Ideal teacher, okay. What is the verse mainly says?
They lead by example.
The importance of a leader, because a leader is in a position that whatever he does, everybody else follows.
Probably.
Like whatever, like for example, whatever religion he follows, or whatever, I don't recollect, but it, maybe anybody can say some point. Like sometimes, you know, if president does something, generally, you know, or even we know of cinema actors, right? You know, a cinema actor wears a particular shirt, a turtleneck shirt or something, it becomes so popular, right? So, it's a common tendency to follow or look up to and follow somebody, nature. That's the nature. But if in a responsible position like presidents or, you know, like father, mother, right, that, then we have to, Prabhupada is giving us some qualifications as a teacher or, you know, as a leader, what we should do in such a way that our subjects will be guided properly. So, what are some of the points in the purport we discussed?
Teach by example, the qualifications, teaching by example, follow the principles of the Shastras.
And there were two more points.
Can't say something against the
Shastras,
and you can't concoct something on your own. And you should be conversant with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the standard books of moral and spiritual codes.
So as parents, as leaders in our family, what we should do, what is application for us?
Introduce
to children. So we have to have knowledge.
Some knowledge
about the scriptures. So, you know, we know what we should live, abide by. So that's what we can teach. Okay. So that concludes that section. So we'll continue with today's class then. Verse number 22. So then Krishna is giving a second example. Who is the other example?
Krishna himself.
We touched upon that verse number 22 a little bit last time. So, O son of Pritha, there was no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything, nor I have need to obtain anything. And yet I am engaged in all prescribed duties. So we'll read the Sanskrit and then the purport and the translation.
Kartavyam
त्रिषु लोकेषु किञ्चन नानावाप्तमवाप्तव्यं वर्त एव च कर्मणि न मे पार्थास्ति कर्तव्यं त्रिषु लोकेषु किञ्चन नानावाप्तम् अवाप्तव्यं वर्त एव च कर्मणि. ओ सन् आफ् पिता, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. So here Krishna is talking about himself. So many, some of the points he's saying in the verse is that, first of all he says, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. So that is by definition God. God has nothing to do. Now for us, I was reading some of the lectures, right? Even for us, anything we want to do, anything we want to obtain, either material or spiritual, we have to do something. Even spiritual, right? It doesn't come. We have to really work hard, do austerity, penance, or, you know, for spiritual life. Or for material, you know, we have to go to work, you know, spend so many hours, do write some code. No, that code should be working, right? Then only you'll get some results. So we have to do. But Krishna, by definition, God, has no work. Everything is there in himself. Everything is there for him. So that's why Krishna is saying, so within these three planetary systems, there is no work prescribed for him. He doesn't have to do anything. Like, you know, like we can see that, you know, this universe has come and go, right? Like so many universes. Does that mean, you know, Krishna is like building things, like, okay, now this universe, after this, you know, built up, you know, software or something, you know, that automatically happens. It happens by his energies. Just by his will, everything happens. Just Krishna has to desire and it happens. Just that much. So there is, especially in these three planetary systems, there is no work for him. Because later on the purport we read already, right? Because he doesn't need to gain anything from this world. If he has to gain something, then there is needs to be work, right? So he doesn't need to gain. So there is no work for him. The next point was, so there are, like, you can bullet this actually if you want to understand, you know, what Krishna is saying. The first point Krishna is saying that there is no work prescribed for me within the three planetary systems. The second point he's saying is, nor am I in want of anything. So here it's basically, the point is Krishna is self-satisfied. He doesn't want anything from this world. Right? We need something to satisfy ourselves. Like, okay, I need this car, I need this bed, or, you know, kids wants. Finally, I don't know if it happened or no, but yeah. So they want, what is it called?
Bunk bed.
They want bunk bed, you know. So many things we want, right? Because something is there, you know, our desires we want to fulfill. But Krishna is self-satisfied, so he doesn't want anything, especially from this world. He wants, what does he want? He wants us to go back, and he wants us, he is actually waiting for our bhakti. He is all of our bhakti, that's what he is looking for. Then, nor have I a need to obtain anything. This also similarly, you know, we need something to fill ourselves. Right, you know, if I have this, then, you know, I'll look good with my family. Right, you know, or I feel good myself. Like many times, you know, we think about weight, right? Oh, if I'm thin, I feel good. If I'm fat, I don't feel good. Because we need so many things to, for our image sake. Like especially work, right? People cannot imagine, without work, what is identity? Like when I was sharing with Navkishore Mathur, I was telling, right, that I quit job. Then she was, you know, appreciating, encouraging, you know, wow, this is a very nice, you know, these days who will do like that, you know, so much this thing. But this is a right path all there. She was encouraging, and then she was telling, so very nice statement. She was telling, so I was only recollecting actually 10 years back when we were engaged, we were conversing. Prabhu was in a different company, right? So I was so much proud about Microsoft and identifying with Microsoft, right? So I used to try so much negotiate with him, you know, no, you should apply to Microsoft. Otherwise, you know, people other than Microsoft, they are worthless, essentially. That was the conception I had. No, like that. So much materialistic, you can imagine, no? So much devotional service is so potent. So so I had that conception. So I was just recollecting and sharing with her, and now I feel I didn't feel any pinch when I had to quit. Huh? So then she was telling, okay, the point is that so your self worth is coming from somewhere else. No, we feel self worth, right? Okay, I am feeling self worth because okay, I'm working at Microsoft. Okay, this is my identification. If that is not there, then I will lose myself. So now it's coming from somewhere else. Maybe I don't know where it is, but somewhere else. So that's what, we need to obtain in something because we are getting that self-worth from that. I need to have kids or, I need to have this position at Microsoft or, so-and-so. Because we need to obtain something. We need to fill ourselves. But Krishna doesn't need to fill himself. He's full. And also, what are the things we need usually?
Need or want?
Need and want, what are things we
need? Need is just basic.
Okay,
right?
That's
it. That's just food,
that's good.
Water,
that's
and
good.
Shelter.
Okay, what do we want?
Whole world.
Generally,
happiness, we seek.
Happiness, okay. Yes.
Money,
wealth, happiness, okay. Then?
Life.
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind, okay. And then, what about beauty?
Yeah.
Now we cannot obtain, it's already given. Whatever body we have, we cannot change. But beauty is another thing, right?
Yeah.
Many people sometimes, cosmetic surgery. Exactly.
Yeah.
Cosmetic surgery, they do, change their nose, change their eyes. Sometimes
they
change their sex.
Too much. For that, we need money.
Yeah. So everything starts with money. Then...
Correctly,
five,
not sixth one.
Yeah.
Not
so we got three, right? We got wealth, beauty,
power, strength.
Yeah. Somebody, all these wrestlers, they want strength, right? They spend so much energy, eating so many things or, taking so many drugs to build their body for strength. Then fame. People want to become famous. And then?
Health.
Knowledge.
I know. I hope you are getting where I'm getting to, right? All the six opulences.
Yeah.
So the other one is renunciation, right?
Which we don't want.
Exactly. So Krishna, all the things which we want, Krishna has them in full. So he does why? That's why he doesn't need to obtain anything. So that's why it's called Bhagavan. So Bhagavan means what? Did we split it anytime? Bhaga, these are six Bhagas. Bhaga means opulence. Six Bhagavas, Bhagas in full. Lord has, so that's why it's called Bhagavan. Possesses. Mm. Lord possesses all these six Bhagas in full. That's why it's called Bhagavan. And yet, so the conclusion is, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. The thing is, even Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. He knows himself that he is the Supreme Lord. He descends to the world for a particular purpose. What is the particular purpose Krishna descends? Who knows that verse? A verse before that. Paritranaya
sadhanam vinashaya chatushkritam dharma sansthapana
sambhavani yuge yuge. So which is the translation? It's in 4th chapter. 4:6 or something. Yeah, 4.7, 4.8. So 4.7, whenever and wherever yada yada hi dharmasya jnanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna is, as a father, he is caring about all of us. So whenever there is a religion, he wants to come himself to fix up the things. Text number 8. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So Krishna appears to establish the religious principles and also mainly for his devotees, pious, and also to annihilate the miscreants.
When you say annihilate, does it mean destroy?
Yeah.
Or you say the world like at the end of this?
No. This is to kill like demons, like Kamsa, all these things. So that's how That's how he appears, right? Even if God is full of himself, he doesn't have to do anything in this world, but still he descends. First of all, somebody may question, why does he come in the first place? If he doesn't need to gain anything from this world, why does he come? So that's why we discovered these verses where Krishna says why he comes. He comes because he wants to establish the religion and especially to exchange loving exchanges with his devotees. That's actually the primary purpose. Secondary purpose is to establish the religion. So, but when he comes, once in a while he shows his supremacy as Supreme Lord, but most of the times he acts as a normal human being. Because so that all the ordinary people will not get bewildered. Like, you know, because first of all, not many people are ready to see God as he is. They are not qualified, right? Even if they see, because of envy, somebody may not accept, like Duryodhana, all those people, right? So for those people, and some people, they don't even know. Like, so for them, in order to calm them, he just acts like a normal person. Like, you know, Lord Ram acted like Maryada Purushottama, right? He did all the duties perfectly. So similarly, Krishna also, he did all his prescribed duties. We detail, what all prescribed duties he did perfectly, as he does, did. So some of the duties he did are like, for example, as when he was child, right? He was in Gokula, like Nanda Maharaj. They are Vaishyas. So Vaishyas, one of the duties is cow protection. Like Krishi, Goraksha, and Vanigyam. So Krishi is agriculture, Goraksha cow protection, Vanigyam is business. These are all duties of Vaishyas. It's given in Bhagavad Gita. So they were taking care of cows, right? So Krishna, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he himself herded the cows. Heard the cows. He could say, oh, he could have innumerable assistants to do it. But he personally took the cows. Not only that, he loved the cows. Because actually cows are one of the five people who need protection. So who are the other five? Anybody knows?
Women.
Children. Cows.
Elderly.
And brahmanas. So these are the five people in general society or king or leader has to offer protection. So among them, cows are one of them, and Krishna loved the cows. That's why one of his name is
Gopala.
Right? He pals the cows.
So cow is considered sacred because it is associated with Lord Krishna in our like Hindu religion, right? That's the reason. Or is there any other reason?
No, maybe no. by nature itself, cow is supposed to be very sacred. Everything, because whatever it gives is very pure, like dung and urine. Normal human being, we can't even stay 2 minutes smelling anything like that. But cow is so pure that all, basically it's serving the society so much.
Right.
That's why, cows are, in scriptures and all, they are considered very, very, they are actually animals in goodness. Cow is one of the animal in goodness. Animals also can be in three modes. Monkey, for example, is in ignorance. And tiger and lion, they are in passion. But whereas cow is in goodness. That's why they say actually people who spend more time with the cows, they come to the mode of goodness automatically. It's association. So not only that, but Krishna is actually exhibiting these things like protection for the five factors, right? So Krishna is showing that, cows, we have to protect them like that. And but nowadays Vaishyas, they sell their cows for slaughterhouses, all this, so it's all lost. That's why all this so many things happening, right? All this riot, natural calamities, all those things are because of, Prabhupada said, it's mainly because of cow killing, especially in the Western countries.
Yeah, cow killing is considered as a big sin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, biggest sin, it's the greatest sin. That's why so many things are happening because of that. That's why one of the main oppositions for Srila Prabhupada's movement was from people from meat eating industries, because the whole industry is surviving because of people who eat meat. And Prabhupada is saying no meat eating, then they are all out of business. Yeah. So protection of cows. So Krishna is Vaishya, he took care of cows as when he was small, and after that, at the age of 12 years, he went to his guru, Sandipani Muni, in ashram in Ujjain. And you know, like a normal disciple, he served him, he, you know, shaved his head and, you know, did whatever guru, menial, like menial services to his guru, like, you know, collecting firewood, whatever anybody does, right, as a normal person. And he learned the art, 64 arts. He knows everything. He's, you know, he's the Supreme Lord and he's, you know, he knows everything. He gives the knowledge, right? But still, you know, as a, to show an example that everybody, to learn something, he has to accept a guru. Right? Somebody may say, oh, I can read Bhagavad Gita and, you know, that's enough, all the thing. But, you know, Krishna himself, many incarnations he showed. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted guru. Until his guru, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, instructed him, Lord Chaitanya didn't chant this Hare Krishna mantra. No, as if to show that, you know, my guru has revealed it to me. But actually, Lord knows. So, he accepted like guru and then he served him. And then, you know, they even gave the guru dakshana along with Balram. Right? So, he did that at 12 years. And after that, later on, you know, he married 16,108 wives, queens in Dwaraka. And all of them, as a householder, you know, all of them, he took care of them nicely. So he built 16,100 palaces, full of opulence. It's so much opulence that all the demigods were envious of, you know, all the opulence of Dwaraka. So much that so many jewels are shining that there is no need for light in the palaces. The jewels itself show the light. So much. And it's not that, you know, each queen has to wait 16,000 days in order to spend time with Krishna. No, he expanded himself 16,000 times, you know, to spend time with wives and the family. And with each wife, he has 10 children, and each of the 10 children has 10 children. So Krishna's family alone became 10 million actually. When the Kurukshetra war happened, Krishna is almost like above 100 years. But he appears ever young. If you see the photo, his colleague answered this one. So he's actually above 100 years. But he looks in the picture, if you see, Arjuna looks older and Krishna looks young, because that's how God is, Krishna is. By that time, actually, he already has his grandchildren as children. By the time the war has happened. So, as a householder, what Krishna used to do is, like, you know, get up early in the morning, 1 hour before Brahma Murta, that's when we should get up and do our meditation. When the cocks, when the cocks make that sound, right, the morning, early morning sound, that's when Krishna used to get up. Then, you know, actually all the queens used to curse them, you know, why they make the sound and wake up Krishna, you know, he's sleeping nicely. And Krishna wakes up, first thing he does is takes bath and wears fresh cloth. Then I was listening to the lecture, Prabhu was telling, these days, you know, we wear, like, you know, 1 week old same dress we keep wearing, but, you know, Krishna wears fresh cloth. Then he sits to meditate. Meditate on whom?
Himself.
He meditates on himself. So we have to meditate on
Krishna.
We have to meditate on Krishna, not ourselves, right? So that's what
thing
we do, right? Yesterday I did this. No, I did this project. There is a bug. I didn't fix it.
Tell
him
in the future. What I will do this. I will do that.
Yeah. We either in the past or in the future.
Yeah.
We are
always
not in the present.
Meditating on us only.
Yeah. So then, after that, after meditation, then Krishna does, all these rituals, and then he offers oblation to sun god. And then after that, he gives charity as a kshatriya, as a ruler. You know, he gives charity. In charity, he gives lot of cows. Then after that, you know, he's ready, getting ready to go to. He does yagya. At that age, yagya is the prescribed method. So he does yagyas and then offers fire oblations and then he serves all the guests who have come. And then he eats his breakfast and then he leaves for work, which is to go to the assembly, you know, as a king, he's a king, right? Go to the assembly, Sudharma, the assembly place is called Sudharma. So the nice thing is, like, you know, 16,100 Krishnas, they come out of all the palaces at once. And on the way to the palace, at one point, they all unify into one Krishna. And as one Krishna, Krishna enters the palace. then he performs there all these duties, you know, listening to the subjects, you know, what are the complaints, what's happening, what are the things, and some music, everything, whatever. And then at the end of the evening, he again comes back, and then at some point on the road, he expands himself into 16,000 Krishnas, enters into palace, all the palaces, to spend time with wife and children. So he did all his householder duties, and he, you know, marriages, and, you know, spend time with children, grandchildren. Sometimes we feel, you know, all the time, you know, I would need a break with my kids, right? And Krishna didn't feel like that, I think. So, yeah. So, because he's a perfect, he's exemplifying perfect person, householder. And then, yeah, and later on, as an idea, Kshatriya. So, Kshatriya, even as a king in the Dwaraka, he had to fight a lot of wars, because many people attacked Dwaraka, like Shalya. So many people attacked. So he personally fought the war. He doesn't need to, right? Like, I mean, he can just say, oh, my potencies are doing it. But no, he personally, because as a Kshatriya, he wanted to show that, you know, I have to do my duties. Yeah. Took the queens. Queens?
He tried waging war 17 times.
Mm. Yeah. Jarasandha, not sure. Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. So. Yeah, and then even another example as a Kshatriya is to even fight the Kurukshetra war itself. Because he wanted to show violence is needed in order to establish religion. It's not that, you know, violence is, there is no need for violence, or, you know, Bhagavad Gita is meant to preach non-violence. So Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi is a strict follower of Bhagavad Gita. So if you see his picture, every time he has Bhagavad Gita. But what he understood out of Bhagavad Gita was that the whole essence of Bhagavad Gita is to be non-violent. Whole conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So that's why he missed the whole point. Essentially, he didn't understand it properly, and his philosophy of non-violence didn't work, and he himself got killed. So, but then actually, what is Krishna's message is, violence is also needed whenever, you know, it's for the right purpose. And that's why, in order to support that, he himself, you know, participated in the war.
Krishna is
Vaishya
in the starting, and now we are telling that he is
a
Kshatriya.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He was born a Kshatriya. Right? He was born a Kshatriya to Vasudeva, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he got transported.
Transferred to their family.
Okay.
So then he is
actually beyond this. He cannot say he is this or that. But at the particular time, he did whatever is, you know, as a king, he had to do something, he did. Yeah. Yeah, if you have to say something about Krishna, it's a Kshatriya actually.
Mm.
As you know, born as a Kshatriya, it's not about birth actually, but
right.
Yeah, he's a Kshatriya,
yeah.
But you know, he, because he's in family, he took care of the cows. That's a very good observation. Yeah. So he did all this very, very, very perfectly. All these things which we have to follow from Krishna, you know. Being God himself, he doesn't have to do all these things, but he personally, you know, did meditation, all those things. Right? So for us to say, you know, oh, Krishna himself didn't meditate, why will I meditate? He doesn't need to meditate, but he does. Okay, so we'll now, these are some of the details, you know, just to think about Krishna, how he did his duties. So now we'll read the purport. Garima Matichuan.
O son of Pratha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the Vedic literature as follows. Do I need to read this?
Yeah, you can. You want to read? You can read or... Or it's okay.
Yeah, I'll skip it. The Supreme Lord is the controller of all controllers, and he is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under his control. All entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipable by all demigods and is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, he is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers, and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than him, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. He does not possess a bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between his body and his soul. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence.
So the main thing about this verse, Srila Prabhupada is quoting, is about the last sentence. His potencies are, this is the Parashya Saktir Vividaiva Shuruyate. This is the last but one line in the Sanskrit in the last verse. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. So he doesn't have to do anything. They are performed because of his potencies, energies.
Since everything is in full opulence in the personality of Godhead and is existing in full truth, there is no duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to perform. One who must receive the results of work has some designated duty, but one who has nothing to achieve within the three planetary systems certainly has no duty. And yet, Lord Krishna is engaged on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as a leader of the Kshatriyas, because the Kshatriyas are duty-bound to give protection to the distressed. Although he is above all the three, all the regulations of the revealed scriptures, he does not do anything that violates the revealed scriptures.
Mm. So we covered this point, right? He is full in opulences, right? That's the first point Prabhupada is telling. And the next one is the same thing, no? He doesn't need to gain anything from these three planetary systems. That's why he doesn't need to do anything. And the third point Srila Prabhupada is saying is that still as a Kshatriya, he did his duty of protecting the distressed.
Mm-hmm.
And the last point is, you know, even though he's above all the scriptures, he never violates the scriptures.
Right.
He doesn't need to do anything that violates the scriptures.
Very nice.
Yeah. So and the point about Kshatriyas is actually this, all the Vaishyas, the four categories, Vaishyas, Shudras, Shudras, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, right? They are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as compared to a body. So Brahmanas are the head compared to head, and Kshatriyas are the hands, and Vaishyas are the stomach, and Shudras are the legs. So if somebody attacks us or something happens to us, what's the natural instinct?
Hands
will rise to protect what? First, what do we protect? Head. So like that, hands, Kshatriyas come immediately for protection to protect the Brahman. And the first thing they have to protect is the Brahmanas. Then, you know, the whole society will be protected. So, can you mute this? Or? Huh? Yeah. Somebody's calling. So that's how, you know, Kshatriyas are duty bound to give protection to the distressed. Actually, these days, we can't even categorize, we all are born Shudras, right? But I remember one incident when I was working at Microsoft. One day, it was a lot of snow, very huge snow. It's like you can't even walk and can't drive. And I was going in car. We were staying in Bellevue, so I was driving to work. And we couldn't take the car. But, my colleague was there. He was a program manager. But he also part-time, he used to work in Air Force, something related to, you know, like Navy, I think. Yeah, in Navy he used to work. So once in a while he used to take break and go, and he had the flexibility to do it. So he's a kind of, you know, that tendency, Kshatriya, reserve, yeah. So he has the, that tendency to, fight, protect for the country, you know, work for the country, serve the country by fighting like that. So somehow, you know, he didn't hesitate. He said, "I'll walk you to your home." So all the way, you know, he's American, no, not so much, you know, relationship and all. But he couldn't see me that, you know, I have to go alone like that. And it's night, it's dark, and, you know, you may sleep any time. I'll come walk to your home. So then I felt like, you know, these days also people actually they are helpless at that time, you know. They have to work, as Krishna says, you know, by nature you'll act according to your nature. It's like that. So, you know, according to his nature, he has to, you know, act for protection and to protect somebody. So, you know, like that. So, the last point Srila Prabhupada is, even though he's above all the scriptures, he doesn't do anything that violates the scriptures. So, there are two points for that. Why he does is that, first of all, to show the example that everybody has to follow scriptures. You know, if Krishna himself follows, everybody follows. no, why, or rather two main points why Krishna performs his duties. First point is to show as an example so other people follow, like Yadyad Acharati Shreshthas, we covered last time, right? As a leader, whatever Krishna does, everybody follows. So in order to show a good example, Krishna performs his duties. And the second point is, he follows Vedas, so others also follows Vedas. Because if Krishna himself appears and doesn't follow Vedas, then you know, people say, oh, Krishna didn't follow Vedas, why will I follow? I'm waiting for some, you know, challenging question. I don't see anybody asking.
Okay, it's like, there is like, what he does is, well, I, you're going to say that first.
But somebody should ask a question. What is in everybody's mind?
Mm-hmm.
So many things. So many things?
Like
why they're silent? You should ask, right?
Could you, sorry, I came very late, but I would have asked if I understood.
Yeah, I would. I was expecting you would ask that.
No, but I don't have the full context.
No, we were just...
But one case is the Karna, death of Karna, right? How Karna was...
No, not all the deaths.
No, so these are the questions I think in everybody's mind. And then Ashwathama got killed.
No, Ashwathama
yeah,
was not still alive.
Kripacharya.
Yeah. Drona. Drona.
Yeah,
whoever is.
So you're
asking
why?
Okay, so first,
no,
later.
Like for Ashwathama.
Instrumented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once again, let me just brief her up. So we are discussing this verse number 22 purport. The main thing what Krishna is saying, we covered the translation last time, where Krishna says, you know, I don't need to do anything in this world, but still I do my duties. So we just detail all the different duties Krishna does. Then we read the purport where Srila Prabhupada is saying last two lines, where he says, although he is above all the regulations of the revealed scriptures, he doesn't do anything that violates the revealed scriptures. So then I was waiting for somebody to know, to question, no, oh, is it really true? He doesn't do anything that, you know, violates the revealed scriptures, or is it true that always whatever he did was according to...
He was not, right? For example, for Duryodhana, he asked him to meet over here, right? On the, right.
Yeah, so...
Everything was... Everything was questionable. How about that?
Yeah.
By mere mortals,
it's
questionable.
Yeah. So, most generally, what Krishna is saying, that's what he did. Like, I am engaged in prescribed duty. So, that's why, you know, I detail all these duties. So, when compared to 1, 2, 3 incidents where seemingly he violated the scriptures or whatever, he did so many things throughout his life, which is what we need to follow, right? So that we have that, you know, bulk is different, right? That's one point.
So you're saying he did violate the scriptures?
Seemingly.
Very few.
Seemingly, yeah. Not scriptures, but basically whatever so-called moral codes. Yeah, we can say scriptures maybe, yeah. Whatever so-called, we say, you know, morality. Like, you know, having one wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's so-called seemingly a moral thing. But, you know, he has 16,000 wives. Right? That, right? Somebody may say, oh, why? So, seemingly he did this. So, what is the... There are two main important reasons, or rather, you know, understanding why he did this. First of all, there is nothing important to Krishna than to please his devotees. So that is the main driver for all the things. If any activity you feel like, you know, you see, or rather, you know, if, as you said, you know, from a mortal person, he don't understand, we should see through this lens. Because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. So he does anything and everything for his devotees, without even caring for his own reputation. So that, to that extent, he can go. He knows that the whole world to come, whole people, the whole next generations to come, they are going to criticize me.
But still,
he doesn't care about the to please the moralist or, you know, people who say right or wrong as much when compared to pleasing his devotees. That's what it matters to him.
In pleasing his devotees, he is violated.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, yes. He didn't mind. Because first of all, the codes are created by him. So he is not bound by them. As a god, that's another second point. This first point was, to please his devotees, he can do anything and everything. He didn't care about his own reputation and whatever he has to face. Or first of all, he doesn't have sin for that. No, we are, you know, as you said, you know, we fear something. That's why we want to worship God. Because we fear sin, right? We fear sin, we fear reactions, you know, so many things. But he doesn't get any sin, right? So he doesn't need to do follow certain things. But just to set an example, he does. So at times, when, you know, he, even though he's supremely independent, he becomes subordinate to his bhakti or love of his devotees, and he does things to please his devotees. Like, for example, lifting the chariot wheel to attack Bhishma, right?
That came in my mind.
Exactly. Because he broke his own promise to fight, you know, to exchange that asa with Bhishma and also to protect Arjuna. That's, so anything, you know, we may not understand it. So when we, our acharyas, when they describe all the incidents which you describe, they have all those reasons. Ultimately, if you see, overall reason is to protect Pandavas, right? Even if we cannot say, oh, why Kripacharya, why this, why Karna, why this, why this, all, overall the umbrella thing, if you want to take, just protect Pandavas, that's all. Then second reason was that Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. So at times he exhibited his supremacy like that. At times, you know, he wanted to establish himself, show himself as supreme personality of Godhead by doing certain acts like lifting Govardhan hill, you know, or marrying 16,000 wives and at the same time pleasing them, you know, making them happy, everything. Not a normal person can do it. Because he's in full in opulence, he demonstrated his opulence in every aspect. So he, at times he exhibited himself as supreme personality of Godhead, no, in order to generally, you know, people to, you know, people who consider him as a normal person, right? So he wanted, in order to, you know, just challenge them, you know, he can't help but exhibit his opulences. So these are the two reasons why seemingly Krishna violated so-called shastric, you know, or normal moral conducts.
And there's one more aspect to it, though. I mean, if he's doing things for to please his devotees, naturally they would never be so immoral that he has to do something which would be so untoward, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's doing under dire consequences to save somebody, right? But I think even if he violates the scriptures, it wouldn't be of such a to such an extent,
mm-hmm.
because his devotees are all moral and good people. They would never want something which is bad.
That's also there, but Krishna didn't care about all. It doesn't matter to him.
Right.
I mean, what I'm saying is, what
I'm saying to the gravity of what, how bad is bad to be described according to the moral conduct. I don't think it will be so bad that it should be looked upon as.
Yeah, that may be true also. That's okay. You're
from
saying, you know,
pure heart.
Yeah,
it's
saying Krishna is not all bad. It's little bad. Like, no, you're giving some. No, what I'm saying is, that's also true. What you're saying is good. But what my main point is, even if it's grievous mistake according to moral codes and so called, Krishna didn't care. That's what I'm saying. You know, that much he loves his devotees. That's the point I want to drive home. That,
brilliant.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't care about all, because all these things are created by him. Nothing, there is nothing sin for him. Whatever Krishna does is dharma, actually. You know, if you have to say it boldly, whatever Krishna does is dharma. Dharma is created by God. It may be seemingly very, very, you know, what is it they say? Adamant statement, no, arrogant statement, right? But that's what it is. Yeah.
But now the other part is also sometime they were devotee of Krishna, like Duryodhan, he in past, but somewhere at some point of time he could be the devotee of Krishna, right? So Krishna cannot offend the another devotee because of the Pandava. Both are devotee kind of.
Duryodhan was never the devotee.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is very good.
This is soul, right? This soul is,
yes.
Origin is Krishna.
Yeah.
That's true.
In the beginning, everyone is devotee.
That's
based upon their desire
that's
of their souls,
yes,
they are coming up and down,
that's
going
right,
here
that's
and
correct,
there.
That's correct.
But all are devotee.
That's all
bottom
are,
line.
Yes, correct. All are devotees. But at the same time, Krishna reciprocates currently according to their
karma
disposition towards him.
In the current birth, you mean?
Yes. So in the current, whatever is the disposition according with respect to Krishna, accordingly Krishna will reciprocate. So for example, now we can say, right, oh, we all are devotees, or so many people in the world who are eating meat or, you know, opening slaughter, everybody is devotees. Why Krishna is not treating equally to everyone? Why he shows special favor to devotees, why not others? So there is a verse actually where Krishna says, I'm not sure whether I can read the Sanskrit, where Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone, but still to devotees, they are very special. They are dear to me and I am dear to them. So he, same time he says, you know, I envy no one. I know the English. I envy no one and I am not impartial. But at the same time, for devotees, I am dear to them and they are dear to me.
But whoever is on the other side, non-devotee side, still, whatever they will get it, that is under their karma's calculation.
Karma's,
so it's not like beyond karma calculation.
Yes,
get
correct, correct.
Bad.
That's also there. According to karma also, and also basically, it's also mercy, because by being killed in the Kurukshetra war right in front of Krishna, they all got liberated. That's the greatest mercy they got actually.
Liberated means they went back to Godhead?
Not Godhead, but at least maybe Brahman effulgence. Yeah, at least from the cycle of birth and death. Because they are not, they don't have that loving rasa with the Lord to, you know, enter Vaikuntha planet or...
What is the difference between getting out of a birth and death thing and going to Goloka? What,
so there are multiple, three aspects of realization of absolute truth, or rather, you know, realization of God. You could be Brahman effulgence, which is actually light from Krishna. You can be a spark there without any active exchange with the Lord. Or second aspect is realization of Paramatma within the heart. That's yogis, they realize. And the third aspect which you all aspiring is to enter the planet of the Lord and exchange the loving relationship with the Lord. So that only when we, evoke our love for the Lord, that's when we can reach there. But these people, they don't have that love, so they cannot, they don't enter there.
So the other two options, so if you don't have enough love, you can either become a spark in the effulgence or a yogi.
No, these are different paths. Actually, you have to perfect them in order to even achieve that. It's not that, you know, we right now take up something and...
No, for those people who
for those, yes.
They could have, if they didn't have enough love... To
it's not about love, it's different. Like, for example, they people who want to enter Brahman effulgence, they like the impersonal aspect. So they have certain path, they follow jnanis, follow certain path in order to achieve that position. So yogis, they do meditation of Paramatma and, you know, Ashtanga yogi, everything. Then eventually they realize Paramatma and they want to like do like that. And the bhaktas. So anyway, we'll not go to that section completely.
All those devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me.
No. You can search for I envy no one.
Oh.
I envy no one. So
Mataji, one question like that I have had is like Krishna displayed his you know, his greatness so many times. So people like Duryodhana and Dhrishtadyumna, how could they missed it? Like how they did not get it, like, you know. So many times, you know, like everybody on Pandava side, Bhishma, everybody knew that he's how could, like, you know, great people like those, like, completely missed it, like, at every stage?
So the thing is, first of all, the power to see God is not within us. In the sense, like, it's not my ability to see God. Can we close it tightly? So some, you may say, right, you know, this person is great, why can't he see God, right? Even if he's great so and so, it's not in his ability to see God. God has to reveal himself. But that's one point. One is, like, you know, that's why Krishna says, when he shows his universal form, Krishna says, right, you know, Krishna, Arjuna, I'm giving you the divine vision. No, divine vision to see me. This form, nobody can see. But I'm giving you the eyes by which you can see me. So that's one point. So according to their disposition towards Krishna, Krishna covers himself. If somebody wants to be envious towards Krishna, Krishna presents himself like, you know, ordinary person, so they can... treat him as ordinary. Duryodhana is so envious about Krishna and Pandavas that, you know, he didn't want to see Krishna, you know, its opulence. So Krishna covers himself. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that, you know, I'm covered by my internal potency. 12th chapter or something. I don't know the Sanskrit to refer the words. She's, you know, to them, 7th chapter or 12th chapter, yeah, he says to them, I'm covered by my internal potency. So only, what is a qualification to see God is like, we should be tinged, our eyes should be tinged with love, saw of love. Premanjana Churita, that's a Sanskrit verse, you know, our eyes should be tinged with love, that's when we can see God. Because when we don't have love, then we can't. Krishna doesn't need to reveal himself to them. That's why even in the presence of Krishna, there are so many atheists, right? We can say, oh, Krishna is presently there in the world, why people don't believe in God? That's so.
This was 9:29.
Yeah, right. Or 9 chapter. You can read the translation book.
I envy no, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend as in me, and I am also a friend to him.
Mm. So 9.29, you can write that if you want. Very beautiful Sanskrit also. You can recite Sanskrit.
Sammoham sarva bhuteshu name deshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tu maam bhaktya mayi te teshu.
So very nice. 9.29, where Krishna says, you know, I'm equal to everyone, I don't have any envy, but still, you know, who are devotees, I'm dear to them. So is it okay, this answer, Prasad Prabhu? Little bit,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah. First two points, that itself.
Yeah, that itself answers all the things, right? Yeah, it's Bhakta Vatsala. So another thing about, you know, this, another aspect to it, you know, why, or rather, you know, why it doesn't matter that he violates scriptures is like, you know, because he himself created the rules and he doesn't, you know, he can violate himself if he wants. So somebody challenged Srila Prabhupada, you know, just to challenge Prabhupada. Prabhupada, can God create a stone which he cannot lift? So what he is trying to say is, you know, he wants to challenge, right? If he says, you know, can he create a stone which he cannot lift, means, okay, God cannot lift something. God has some lack, right? He doesn't have power to lift. And if he say, oh, he cannot create a stone which he cannot lift, means, oh, he still has a lack, he cannot do. The Prabhupada said, yes, he can create a stone which he cannot lift and he comes as a different incarnation and lifts it.
Wow.
Right? So he can create a stone which he cannot lift, but he can come as a different expansion or incarnation and lift it.
Same,
so
like
he did both.
Same like Hiranyakashipu.
Yeah, exactly.
He
yeah.
He can't kill directly like Vishnu, so he came like Narasimha.
So like that. And another thing is like we can understand it like through practical terms. Like for example, prison house. There are certain rules and rules of conduct, right? So prisoners are in certain cells and they can eat at a particular time or, you know, they can go out and do certain things. There are rules of the prison house. But sometimes, once in a while, the minister of the state or, you know, president, sometimes they visit the prison house. But at that time, he is not obliged to those rules. He created the rules for the citizens there. But he can come and see anyone and greet anyone or, you know, feed anyone if he wants and go back. Like that. So God created the rules. He is not bound by those rules. See, that's a mistake we make. These rules are within this world for us. We think these rules are applied to God, right? When he comes, it's by his mercy for certain things, not to, you know, to bind himself with these rules. It's like, you know, we should accept that, you know, God is God. Then, you know, and then we point out, you know, why Krishna is not. That's why, to most extent, he did. Even if 100% he didn't do anything, also, you know, nothing happens to him. Or rather, you know.
And
but
even
still,
people will criticize.
Yeah.
So
99% he did, and 1% he did because, you know, he had to give in to the love for his devotees. Because he is completely, supremely independent. No, he is not obliged to anyone. Nobody can do anything to him. But still, he himself subordinates himself to his devotees. That's the only weakness he has. If God has any weakness, that's the only weakness. That's how we can capture Krishna through love. And another incident is Yashoda Mata. She tried to bind Krishna, right? in the Damodar Leela pastime. Right, you know, Krishna is, you know, he broke the pot with butter. She was so much planning she did, like so many cows. You know, if somebody listens to that story, you know, she grazed so many cows with very, very special grass so that they can give special milk. From that milk, she gave other set of cows. So they drink that milk and give very, very special milk. Like that, so many layers she went. And then finally, she picked one cow, which gives that very, very special milk. That milk she made butter personally, all because to feed Krishna only, and she was churning that butter, and rather she was boiling that milk on the stove, and Krishna, you know, she felt like, I want to drink mother's milk. So then she came and she was feeding Krishna, and she saw that the pot was overflowing, because actually why it was overflowing, you know, the internal reason our acharyas say. Because the milk in the pot, because in spiritual world everything is conscious. So milk is also living entity. Milk is feeling. Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna. So what is use of my life? No, what will I do? So I'll overflow and kill myself. So Krishna, that milk was overflowing like that. Then Yashoda Mata was seeing, you know, oh, this milk I'm making for Krishna, and it's so much effort, and not only about effort, but it's for Krishna. So okay, Krishna can, I can feed him little later, because that milk, if it overflows, I'm not going to say, I cannot save it. So he just put Krishna aside and she went. And of course Krishna supremely, you know, independent, right? And he can pray all the pranks, and he was angry. Like, you know, how could you do, you know, how could you, you know, leave me and, you know, give importance to something else? That's all. He, you know, he went and he broke that pot, other pot of butter. That butter which she made like that. And
was it from the same milk?
No, this was other milk. I think the butter she made earlier, it was upstairs and like, you know, hanging. And then he broke that butter and he was running around, running away. And then Krishna, Yashoda Mata with the stick, she was so angry. Because angry not because, you know, I did all. We become angry because, oh, I did so much and wasted everything. I have to cook again for you. But she didn't become angry because she was angry because, you know, I wanted to serve you and, you know, you spoiled my service. She ran with the stick behind Krishna and finally she ran. I mean, she couldn't catch Krishna, but somehow she caught Krishna. And now she wanted to punish Krishna. Like, you know, she wanted to tie the rope, and then she took the rope and then tied him. And what happened? It was
two inches too short.
He couldn't tie the knot. And, you know, she tried so much, you know, she got all the rope in the house. Still it became short. And then, you know, she called all the other gopis, brought all the, you know, all the rope in the whole the place. Still it became short. Then all the gopis were saying, you know, Yashoda Mata, your endeavor is, you know, so much you are trying, it's not working out, why don't you give up? No, then she was saying, every day in the morning I tie his belt. No, it's so easy. No, why I'm not able to tie? Because when Krishna is bound at that time because of love. Now he wants to show his supremacy, right? And Acharya say that 2 inches are, 2 inches which are required to bind Krishna are one inch is our effort or, you know, our love. The second inch is Lord's mercy. So even into perfection of our bhakti, these two are required. One is our effort, and the other, it's not just our effort. The other side is Lord's mercy. Then, you know, we can achieve that position. So that's what our acharyas give, that, you know, the sense of that pastime. Then finally, you know, when Krishna was, you know, satisfied enough, and he couldn't see Yashoda Mata, you know, perspiring so much and so much effort she's making, he gave that 1 inch and said, okay, you can bind me now. So she bonded. So yeah, so that's another incident to say, you know, nobody can bind Krishna. Even so, we can say, you know, out of love also we can bind, but sometimes out of love, sometimes he may act supremely independent. That also we can say, oh, now I can purchase Krishna with my love, so let me become a pure devotee. then Krishna can do tricks there also. So, you know.
So what happened? What is this incident called?
Damodar Leela pastime.
So did the whole milk come out of the pot?
I think she stopped it. Okay. That's when he.
She was able to save some milk.
Yeah. Anyway, that was not the, you know, essence of the.
Yeah.
Thing.
Damodar.
Yeah. So we are trying to bind Krishna with the rules he created. So we can imagine, no? It's okay. So next two verses I wanted to cover then. Okay, I don't think it. So Krishna now says, you know, why, what happens if he doesn't do his duties? You know, why he has to do his duties and what's the consequence he doesn't do? So we'll read the next verse, number 23. यदि अहम न वर्तेयम् चातु कर्माणि अतन्त्रिता मम वर्तमानु वर्तन्ते मनुष्या पार्थ सर्वशा यदि अहम न वर्तेयम् चातु कर्माणि अतन्त्रिता मम वर्तमानु वर्तन्ते मनुष्या पार्थ सर्वशा. For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. So here Krishna is saying Manushya. So Manushya is all living entities. So all men, all living entities will follow my path. So because what's the risk of if Krishna didn't follow his prescribed duties? Because Krishna says, right, whoever is a leader, everybody will follow. So Krishna being Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also he is a king, right, as a Kshatriya. So all the men will follow his path and they will not do his duties. So that's why Krishna himself is showing us an example how to do his duties. So we'll read the purport, very small one. Who will say?
In order to keep the balance of social tranquility for progress in spiritual life, there are traditional family usages meant for every civilized man. Although such rules and regulations are for the conditioned souls and not Lord Krishna, because he descended to establish the principles of religion, he followed the prescribed rules. Otherwise, common man would follow in his footsteps because he is the greatest authority. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that Lord Krishna was performing all the religious duties at home and out of home as required of a household.
Okay. So we all discussed all the points, right? One is, you know, all these rules and regulations are mainly for conditioned souls like us. So it's not for Krishna, but still he did it because he came himself to establish the religion, principles of religion. We covered that verses where, you know, we understand why Krishna comes. Because as a greatest authority, everybody will follow him. And also inside home, out of home, he did all the duties. We covered those things in details as a householder.
This is one question.
Yeah.
Like you said, like whatever seemingly violations that Krishna has done, he has done it for the devotees. But from a common man perspective, right, he doesn't understand the internal reason
yes.
why he does them.
Mm.
So he can still follow those things, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That will be covered in the next verse. So essentially, people may follow those things, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So we'll come to the conclusion. No, in such cases, what to do? We'll come in the next verse. So we'll come to the. It's okay. We'll go to the next verse.
Yeah.
Text number 24. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. So Krishna is again giving another incident, you know, why, another reason why he had to do his prescribed duties, because otherwise he is giving many points. First is, you know, all these worlds will be put into ruination. And the second one is, he will be cause of creating unwanted population, Varna Shankara. Third one is, he will destroy the peace of all living entities, living beings. So, you know, this reason, can anybody recollect this Varna Shankara reason?
Arjuna
was telling one of the reasons not to fight. He says, you know, if I fight, all the men will be killed, then women will be exploited, then it will lead to Varna Shankara. But Krishna is saying, if I don't do my duties, this is going to lead to Varna Shankara. Similarly, Arjuna, if he doesn't do his duty of fighting in the war, he is going to lead to Varna Shankara. Alright, so now we'll read the purport and we'll answer that point. Oh, somebody else can read.
Varna Shankara is unwanted population which disturbs the peace of the general society. In order to check this social disturbance, there are prescribed rules and regulations by which the population can automatically become peaceful and organized for spiritual progress in life. When Lord Krishna descends, naturally he deals with such rules and regulations in order to maintain the prestige and necessity of such important performances. The Lord is the father of all living entities, and if the living entities are misguided, indirectly the responsibility goes to the Lord. Therefore, whenever there is general disregard of regulative principles, the Lord himself descends and corrects the society. We should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate him. Following and imitating are not on the same level. We cannot imitate the Lord by lifting Govardhan Hill, as the Lord did in his childhood. It is impossible for any human being. We have to follow his instructions, but we may not imitate him at any time.
Yeah, we can pause there, Mataji. I don't think we'll be able to cover the whole thing today, so we'll not rush. So main thing is, as a Lord, you know, as the father of all living entities, he takes the responsibility. So, you know, he descends himself to establish the religious principles. Right? And the point there is, you know, so we should follow his footsteps, but we should not imitate him. So that's the point. So Krishna, he being a supreme personality of Godhead, you know, he sometimes had to violate certain things, or, you know, for to please his devotees. So in following Krishna, we should not do as he did. We should do as he says. Got it?
No, I understand the point, but I'm just thinking from a layman or a common man perspective, because the previous verse says common man would follow him.
So common man should follow what Krishna says, but not what he does. That becomes imitation. So the difference, there is a difference between imitation and following. Following means, you know, following the principles they say, or, you know, teach. But in general, like all of us, we should, you know, we should do what we say. For us, there is no discrepancy. We cannot tell our kids, you know, you do what I say, but you don't do what I do. No, I smoke, but you know, you should not smoke. We cannot say like that. We should not have any discrepancy. But God, being a supremely independent person, no, he can do certain things which we cannot do. So we cannot imitate him. But what we have to do is, we have to follow the principles. And principles are laid out in Bhagavad Gita.
So did God say to get up before Brahma Murti anywhere?
So anywhere, he laid out the principles of devotional service. So our acharyas have detailed. I don't know about, you know.
I'm just trying to say, like, yeah, we may not detail out some minute things, right?
Yeah.
So generally we try to follow.
So that's why we, because we cannot follow Lord directly, you know, it's not, we are not so, you know, we should not try to be so strong that, you know, I will do only what God says, but not other, you know, other people say, right? We may not understand in totality what God says, so we need to hear it from acharyas. They give the process of devotional service, by following which we can understand what God says. So they, you know, and also Krishna, okay, he didn't say it, but he did it, right?
Okay. And even if we try, we cannot follow.
Yeah, you cannot do that, right? So, You cannot imitate him. You cannot lift the Govardhan. We can't even.
Even if you like, you know, what you are saying, common man is trying to follow. I'm sure he knows Krishna enough to be able to follow, right? To think even think of following.
No, I'm just thinking of the.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
not
I
in
get
terms of
point.
Other things where
yeah.
it's not prepared or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll pause here. We'll continue in the next class. Hare Krishna.